Ooh. Almost caught. I'm glad I caught that. Anyway, I was talking and talking and my mic wasn't on. And on my mic, there's a, if it's USB, it will light up, and but it stays light lit if it's connected through USB, whether you turn it off or on. If you're through XLR, even it's going to be off. So I don't get it, but whatever. Anyway, it's back on. Welcome to Theologicus. My name is Joseph Louthan. We're just going to get into it. Okay, today is Thursday. It is the study in Genesis. We are finally in chapter 2, but the theme continues. God is our forever, and today we're going to examine our forever rest, okay? And it's just a few, we're going to go just a few verses in, but let's talk about it. Genesis 2, starting verse 1, 2, and 3. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were complete. On the seventh day, God had completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it he rested from all his work of creation. Now, I call it our forever rest. He is our forever rest. Okay, say we're talking about the Sabbath, right? But we, in every time I hear the when pastors and preachers and theologians talk about Sabbath, they talk about the importance of rest. Well, it is important, and it is a commandment, and it is holy, and it's always like, because we live in a society where we like to do and go and we think we can, somewhere in our feeble minds, we think we can accomplish more in 7 days than we actually can with six with one day off, right? We fool ourselves with thinking like we can just keep busy and just keep going, right? But I want to take you all the way to the end, all the way to eternity. Why do we rest? God started with rest. Why do we end with rest? Okay. There are two, let me give the supporting text. There are two explicit commands that were given to mankind before the fall. Only one of them is forever. Now, while the command of not eating from a certain tree no longer applies, and we're going to get to that here in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, we are still to rest after 6 days of work because God rested after 6 days of work. Okay? And case in point, we see that God has rested in the beginning of Genesis 2. Let's go to Exodus 20. This is post-fall. This is the law of God. God starts to give us the law that is only to point back to him. The law, again, I will preach this over and over again. The law is not to save us. Christ saves us. The law points us in the direction of God. Exodus 20, starting in verse 8. Remember, this is the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You want me to try it now? Oh my gosh. Wait, let me dip it. Is this going to be good? It's good. It's the apple smoothie we made. That's delicious. You like it? Oh my gosh, that's silly. That's a good prank though. Thank you for pranking me. What else are you going to cook up? Don't know. All right. See ya, Ives. All right. That's just my daughter. Oh, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work in that 6 days. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male or female servants, your livestock, your resident alien who is within your city gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them for in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and declared it holy. Now, before we get into, like, I'm going to say something practical. You may be wondering, so why do we get the weekends off? Most of us have jobs, typically Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. But why do we get Saturday and Sunday off? Well, the Jews observe the Sabbath on Friday evening to to Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, Christians observe the Sabbath, call it the Lord's Day for the most part. Now, for those who are vocational ministers, Sunday is not really a rest day, so they'll take their Sabbath another time. And that's the reason why we have to accommodate both major faiths in America, Saturday and Sunday. Now, you're like, okay, well, why do we get 2 days rest? I don't know about you, but I would work 5 days a week, and that would give me time, give me a day to take care of all the errands I couldn't take care of during the week. If you were given 4 10s, or like you work 4 days a week, that'd give you 2 days to do stuff around the house, get stuff, run around. There's still chores to be had. So you're still, in essence, are still trying to work 6 days a week. If you're like me, trying to pursue dreams outside your 9 to 5 or your 8 to 5, whatever, how many hours you work, just because I want to achieve certain things, or even fulfill a calling of God, but guess what? I still have to rest. I have no choice but to rest. I don't get to do this stream on Saturdays. My Saturday is my Sabbath. It is my rest. And you only get 5 days of stream. Now you're like, okay, Joe, well, what are you doing Sundays? Why don't we get 6 days of stream? Well, because I host a Bible study here in my house. So I go to church. A lot of times I do, like every other Sunday, I will teach the kids in the mornings. But every Sunday, guess what? Bible study. And then the rest of the week, 5 days a week, you're on the Bible study right now. Now, that's just practical. That's just like, you know, an FYI, but neither here nor there. Here's the point. God is creator. We are his creation. We are always to obey our creator. The call to obedience is always present from creation through the garden, through the law, all the way to the gospel. Do you get that? Because we are his creation, we are called, we are commanded to obey God. And we are the command to obey God doesn't let up because of the gospel. There's nowhere in the gospel that says, like, oh, now you don't have to obey God because Christ continuously takes our sins away from us. That's not how that works. It's what I love. My favorite pastors in the world, like Dr. Stephen Lawson, I'm attending a conference of his coming up in August. If you're in the Oklahoma City area, look it up. His Institute for Expository Preaching. He is hosting it at the First Baptist Church in Mustang. This is the second time I'm able to go. They didn't have one last year, COVID. But if you're in the area, I encourage you to go. Please go. Well, you'll get to see me, but you'll get to be under the great teaching of all things preaching, Dr. Lawson. He calls it the gospel command, and therefore I call it the gospel command. Here's the good news of Jesus Christ that he has commanded us to do. What does he command us to do? Repent. The kingdom of God is here. Repent of your sins. Okay. The one thing is consistent. We are to obey our creator, and we are to rest like our creator. But why? Why do we get to rest like our creator? So therefore, I always like to ask, hey, what we've read so far, where do you see God in the text? Okay. Let's look at what I want to examine is look at God's hearts towards us and some of the ways he is to his creation. Okay. Item number one, God loves us and has set apart his children from looking like the rest of the world. Here's the thing, like, you know, you hear this over and over time again. I believe it's Jesus in the book of John where he says that we are in the world, but not of the world. And this is what he means by that. Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord had set his heart on you and chose you, not because you're more numerous than all the peoples, but because you're the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors, he brought you out with a strong hand and redeemed you from a place of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps his gracious covenant loyalty for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commands. But he directly pays back and destroys those who hate him. He will not hesitate to pay back directly the ones who hates him. So keep the command, the statutes and ordinances that I'm giving you to follow today. Leviticus 20:26, you are to be holy to me because I'm the Lord, am holy, and have set you apart from the nations to be mine. We also know that God loves us and he's always our protection and refuge from sin and evil. Crack open the Psalms and you're going to see this time and time again. Psalm 61, God, hear my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. I call to you from the ends of the earth where my heart is without strength. Lead me to a rock that's high above me, for you have been a refuge for me, a strong tower in the face of the enemy. Two times in Psalms 18, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock, where I seek refuge, my shield, my horn of salvation, and my stronghold. A little bit down to verse 30, God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock? Only our God. Again, let me remind you, God loves us and always has been our home. John 14, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that I am you where I am, you may be also. You know the way to where I am going. Now look at what Thomas, how he responds to this. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? This is not a path in the road. This is not a philosophical enlightenment. This is not it's not a checklist. It's not a series of things to do or not do or any of that. Here is the gospel. Here's the good news. The good news of Christ, first of all, will bring us all the way to the Father. Within the gospel, we must understand the truth that Jesus is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to the fullest of life and eternal life. God loves us, and in Christ alone, he is the only way to God. John 14, starting verse 6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is Jesus' direct response to Thomas. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. For now on, you do know him and you have seen him. John 3:16, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God loves us, and in Christ alone, he is the only one who will satisfy the internal hole in our heart. Go and read Ecclesiastes 3:11, okay? You ever wonder, if you've lived on this earth long enough, you ever wonder, why do you go after things that are not God? Or why do you have this insatiable appetite for certain things? Like to fulfill something other than God that you think will make you safe, will make you happy, will make you whole, will make you healed, and all these things. And we all do it. But why is it such a strong desire? It seems like something otherworldly. Well, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, God specifically says, I have set eternity in the heart of mankind. We were designed and created to be worshipers. Now, the fulfillment of that hole in our heart was always God. Guess what? Only an eternal being or something that's eternal can fill that hole. None of the things that we chase after on this earth can fill that hole in our hearts, right? But look at what happens. Let's look at this. The triune God himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, dwells in our hearts. And this is the ramifications of that, okay? Psalm 17:15, I will see your face in righteousness when I awake, when I am, my eyes are fully open, I will be satisfied with your presence. And what does that presence bring? Psalm 16:11, going back one psalm. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God loves us, and in Christ alone, we have rest. In Christ alone, we get satisfaction. We get to live. We get to be fully alive. We get the fullness of joy. We get pleasures forevermore. In Christ alone, we finally get to rest. So what does Christ say? How many times have I quoted this to you? Matthew 11, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Okay? The gospel commandment, the good news is all right there. What is our responsibility? God loves us, and in one day in Him alone, we will have our rest forever. Let me read you from Revelation 21, starting in verse 1. Okay? This is end times. This is at the tail end. This is eternity forevermore. And here's how this starts off. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. This is the rest that we cannot fathom here on earth, right? A whole new earth, a whole new heaven, right? God will reset the stage, but he will reset the stage with people who adore and worship him and have repented and have trusted in him and put all of their hope into Christ. We can't even fathom that one day death will be no more. The terms of grief, crying, pain, shame, despair, all those things that Adam and Eve quickly learned when they disobeyed God and sin entered into their hearts and entered into our world and broke everything, they didn't have a language for that. All they knew is they felt it. They felt the shame. Self-righteousness creeped in and started dictating what they were to do before a just and holy God. But then there's going to be one day that we may have the words for that, but we'll never have to use the words for that, because those things will no longer be in existence. We can't fathom that. We cannot fathom that. But yet one day the promises of God is that we'll be rested with him forever. Because why? We will be with him forever. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. He also said, write, because these words are faithful and true. And then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give to the thirsty from the spring of the water of life. The one who conquers will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowards, faithless, detestable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their share will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And you're saying like, well, how could Christ say that it is done? I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. How can you say that? It's not done yet. That is the characteristics. That is the characteristics of the Holy Triune God, is that he is not a promise breaker. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. In our sinful things, it's like, oh, a God who can't lie, I can lie. Should I be better than him? No, that's not impossible. He gives promises, and he's the only one who can say it's done. Why? Because he is God. Okay? Here's our prayer today. God, sin hunts us down and infects us, our hearts. When it strikes and when the infection sets in, we start drifting and running away from you. Keep us from sin, O God, and keep us near to you. Keep us near so we'll finally have rest, because our souls are troubled by sin. Amen. So thank you so much for showing up today. Thank you so much for catching this live stream. We're going to be back tomorrow. It's home devotions in the Gospel of Mark. Short and sweet. We're going to carry you into your Sabbath. We're going to carry you into the Lord's Day. We love you. If you have any prayer requests, just drop a line, man. And we'll talk to you later.